The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just our offense.
Fake to Jacobs. Love. Touchdown, Reed. Jaden Reed connects and leaps.
And 19 is up.
Second and goal. Jacobs. Touchdown, Green Bay.
The scheme we have, you know, the plays we're dialing up that Steno and Matter are dialing up are, you know, top tier.
19 is up.
Third and two for Green Bay. Fake to Jacobs. It's Reed.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, I just think that our guys have the right mentality in terms of knowing that we have to come in, put in the work.
Kick is 46. He couldn't see it. Must it. Bo Melton there. One of the two. The Packers gunners down there and come up with it.
Third and eight. Odell Beckham Jr. sighting. He's in the game.
Tua goes down. And those edge rushers for Green Bay shut down this drive.
For all the marbles here, boys.
Yep. Fourth and goal from the one. Tua faking. Ingold fell. Tua sacked.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Continue to push and push each other to get better and better and better. And that's really all we're all about.
Obviously, the joke is not going to take a leg last year. So be able to come in here, get the win, get the turkey leg after. It was very delicious.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
It is a Victory Friday brought to you by our friends at Palermo's Pizza. So many delicious brands that they have, whether we're talking about Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screaming Sicilian. They're going to have a slice to fit your appetite. Keep an eye out for Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Palermo's flavor is our family's business. That's right. Rare Victory Friday. Packers winning on Thanksgiving. We're still here. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe Neitzel, Mark Chamora, hanging out with you. And Chewy, I think that was the best game they've played all year. I mean, I think that replaces what they did against the Arizona Cardinals earlier this year. Jordan, and a lot of it has to do with Jordan not really putting the ball in harm's way. There's a ball that could have been an interception that wouldn't have been his fault because Dontavian Wicks dropped it. But they were able to run the football efficiently. Love was very efficient through the air. Defense got their job done, holding a team that had been averaging 29 points per game since Tua had returned to just 17. Packers win 30-17.
Was this the best game because it finally looked like we had a pass rush?
I think that factors in. I mean, they had five sacks on Tua.
Yeah, I think it does too.
They had five sacks on Tua.
Yeah, this is a good win. I mean, Miami's not a great team, even though they're 5-7.
Yeah.
They're still a good team.
Yeah, they were hot coming in. You know? Had won three in a row.
Two was better than I thought. He's not bad.
No.
He's not bad. Going through his progressions, he's very detailed, this, that. But I thought the difference in this game was defense. You know, the offense kind of, I guess this is what they're going to be now. Because if you look at the split, it's pretty much 50-50.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the game was never out of reach. I mean, you take that muff punt early on and it's a one-game score. But I like how LaFleur is sticking with the run. Most coaches say they will stick with the run and then they abandon it, but I'm fine with this. I'm fine with this 50-50 split.
Well,
I
am completely fine with it because I think even though Josh Jacobs 19 carries 43 yards, the team still has 25 carries for 114, which you'll take all day, right, Chew? 4.6 yards per carry.
Yeah.
You'll take that all day. So then that opens up everything else for Jordan. So if you keep that 50-50 split, and it can be this easy for Jordan, you could take some of that pressure off of his shoulders. He doesn't feel like he has to be Superman, push the ball down the field, put the ball in harm's way. That's what I think this team can look like. And in order to be a running team, Chewy, That means you got to be a bit of a physical football team. And that was the one thing that caught my ear after the game last night was the way that Matt LaFleur talked about his team's physicality.
Yeah, I think just, you know, the one thing that stands out to me is just we're being physical in every phase of football. And I think that's going to do us well. I think that gives you a chance each and every week. And it shows up all over the tape, whether it's our linebackers hitting people, whether it's up front, our receivers blocking. I can't say enough about how the job that Wicks does out there and the physicality that when you get it from the skill positions, it changes the complexion of your team.
So that's something, Chewy, where when your head coach is talking about it, the physicality of your team, I feel that has been, I don't want to necessarily say a complaint, because in the NFL in 2024, there's just different ways to do it, right? But are the Packers actually a physical team? When you look at the way they play, would you say the Packers are a physical team? And you can't view this through the prism of you guys being a physical team, because football's different in 2024 than it was in 1996, because you guys were certainly a physical team. But are they a physical team in today's NFL?
Well, I think physical is the word they use, because when you immediately think of physical offensively, you think of offensive line and a bruising back.
Yep.
And they have that.
Yeah.
Right? This offensive line, not the most talented. And back when I played, we didn't have the most talented offensive line, but we had the most physical. We played to the whistle, and they took pride of peeling guys off of piles, which is a lot like this team. You know, and then a physical when it comes to defense really means they fly around. It's not only the defensive line,
it's the
fly around. And last night, they actually looked like they were flying around, you know, and we didn't see that in years past. You know, there was no gang tackling. Now they play physical. And when you have a team like this, right, from South Florida that comes in and the weather is perfect. For the way your team's been built, you better be more physical than that team. And they were last night, and it showed. They're trending in the right direction. This is what I thought, Gabe. You know, they're starting to – you know how I said last week they need to start stacking these things? Now, last night wasn't perfect, wasn't great, you know.
Some things
like
to clean up.
If they take away that muff punt, it's a one-score game. But you beat a good team, and I'll still call San Fran – you know, without the quarterback and stuff.
It's tough. Without the quarterback, left tackle.
But going to this week, you know, I think they stacked the win, right? Which sets up for a huge game next Thursday night. Is it a must win?
I mean, if you want to win the division.
Does it matter?
I think it does. Because truly, this team is still young. And we saw this last year. They're the youngest team in the league. They got hot, but it was tough for them to sustain that hot streak, right? And they ran into it, and they had some of those flaws, and they did not execute the way they needed to against San Francisco, especially late in the game. And when you are this young, you want to try to make it, to me, as easy as you possibly can. So if you have a game at home, if you have two games at home, hell, if you win that game, like, the number one seed is suddenly in play. Like, whoever wins the North is probably going to be the number one seed. Philly's sitting there at 9-2, so I guess they still factor in as well. But, I mean, you have a good chance at being the one or two seed. If you're the two seed, you're getting two home games. You know? So I think if you want to win the division, and I think that's the Packers' easiest route to a championship. I know I hate it when people bring, well, in 2010 they won three games in a row. Yeah, well, and look at how they did with the number one seed. Well, yeah, they haven't done anything. They were the seven seed last year. They've been the five seed. They've been the four. They've been every seed. They haven't won a Super Bowl, right? So I want to make it statistically the easiest way to get to a championship. And that, to me, is for a young team to have home games. Because playing three on the road and winning three on the road when you're this young and you still make mistakes from time to time, you make it hard on yourself on the road.
So if they don't win, they're out.
If they're
getting the wild card.
If they do not win this game, they will be a wild card. Correct.
Okay. It's a huge game.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I don't like the way the Chicago
I knew this. I just don't like it, Gabe.
I wanted to blow him out.
Yeah. Well, because it was a blow. It was, what, 16
instead,
because
they were tracking, they were tracking to blow him out. And then they took their foot off the gas pedal, a little like LaFleur did in the second half, which is fine. But they're going to get yelled at. I don't want a team getting yelled at before I got to play them.
I love this theory from Chewy.
I want to pat it on
the
back.
So here, he's so right about this, the way that they played.
Here are the things that went through my head during that. And I was, I probably paid attention to that game the least amount, especially in the first half. You know, we were eating, we were getting everything ready and all these sorts of things.
Yeah.
But as the Bears are mounting their comeback in the second half, the conflicting thoughts in my head. One, it's better for the Packers if the Lions lose this game. But then I have to root for the Bears.
Yeah.
But also, if the Bears win this game, even though it helps the Packers, we're going to come in tomorrow and Chewy's going to be like, I mean, if you want the Packers to win that game, I don't know if the Lions should win that game because the good teams aren't going to lose back-to-back games. But then it ends up being a close game and then the Lions win. Like, that's the worst of both worlds because it's a close game and now he's going to come in and say, well, they got yelled at. It's going to be tough. So these are the conflicting thoughts I have going through my head during the last 5 minutes of the Lions-Bears game. This is what you've done to me.
Well, where are we at with Ashy as far as converting him? Because this is what the Bears do, Ashy. They built you up. You thought overtime they're going to come back and steal one from Detroit. But that might have been the dumbest waste of 30 seconds I've ever seen in the NFL in my life, where they don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't call a timeout. Like, did that tip it over the edge at least to have two teams?
I'm just going to ask you guys this. We're all friends here, right? This is a trust tree, the three of us, right? We're all buds?
No, yeah. I'm not your friend. Well, you're making me work today. We're not doing this. Okay, I'm still
You get to work. You get to be with your two guys. It's a Dude Friday. We're going to talk about mustards again, I'm sure. Here's the thing. Does the offer still stand from you guys?
Oh, yeah. Offer still stands for you to jump over.
As Chewy mentioned earlier this week on Monday when I was in, may I test the waters a little bit? Dip a toe in. See how it feels. Because I'm waiting for this Eberflus news. That's what I need. I need Flus to be gone.
What, today?
So what you're telling
Any day,
me.
Yesterday, what, the other day, 3 months ago.
What you're telling me is at the end of the day, if Eberflus is still the Bears coach, you might come over. But if he gets fired, you're still going to stay with the Bears.
Yes, that's accurate.
Okay.
But did you actually have hope yesterday? Because I know you were watching the game. They're going to blow this. Or you're like, ooh.
Yeah, I did. Gabe, what was my demeanor yesterday when I was talking to you for pregame?
He was still very upset about around 4 o'clock.
I just don't understand.
Okay.
And it must be great being you guys and not having to deal with this BS.
It ain't bad.
Year after year. Why does everything that I love not love me back? Honestly, why Matt Eberflus wasn't just left in Detroit to find a job and Ben Johnson just taken, right? I don't know what this organization is doing.
He needed to be fired before he stepped up to the podium and defended his decision not to call a timeout. But we can get into that later. We can dunk on the Bears later because there is plenty of that here on this Victory Friday for the Green Bay Packers after their 30-17 win over the Miami Dolphins. 800-990-3776 to join the conversation like Jeff in Milwaukee does. Jeff, appreciate you calling in on this holiday week. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving yesterday. What do you got for us today?
All right. I did have a happy Thanksgiving. It was awesome. Just following up on some food things, the beer and brat mustard is insane. My question for each one of you, my question for each one of you is, Chewy and then Gabe, what's your favorite thing on Thanksgiving, food-wise?
Yesterday was sausage stuffing. Ooh. And you know why it was so good? Because it was heavy sausage.
Okay.
I don't like heavy bread. Heavy sausage had a little spice to it, had a little kick. It was outstanding.
My go-to answer, Jeff, my mother makes dumplings every Thanksgiving, and she made those, brought them with as they came over to our house. We hosted for the first time yesterday. That is always my favorite part because she only makes them for Thanksgiving, so I look forward to it every year. Ashton had one of those. Ashton got one of those.
Oh, yeah. Good little dumpling ball in my night. That's the way to do it.
So mine was my wife also makes incredible sausage-based stuffing. Dad has got no bread in it because she's very, very much. She's a paleo person, and it was insanely good. Now, onto the Packs. A couple things. we finally have the next Chewy in Tucker Kraft. It only took about, what, 25 years? But we finally got the next Chewy. I think the guy, the sky is the limit for that guy. You just get the ball in his hand.
I agree.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
And it was nice to see how they... It's nice to see how they targeted him yesterday. It looked like they made a conservative effort to get him the ball, which is kind of what we've been waiting for. But I agree, man. Sky is the limit for that guy. He's a good player.
Tell him to throw 8-yard passes to his tight end. I mean, that's the best security blanket in the world. Okay, so this is the one thing that I thought about the game, and you guys might think I'm crazy. I thought the best drive of the game, and what really made me feel like this team is really starting to find its groove, was the 22-second drive before the end of the half.
Oh, yeah.
That was such that you feel like, you felt like this team is in sync. They know what they are doing. I thought that was such a well-orchestrated drive, and they just looked like they were in total control.
Yeah, stole 3 points.
I don't know what you guys thought. Yeah.
They stole 3 points. I think that kind of gave you the feeling of, oh, this team is, because when you're able to put together, Chewy, a 4-play, 34 drive with 22 seconds, and it helps when you have all their timeouts like they did, and you can steal those 3 points right before the half because you think Miami's maybe moving now and they're in position to score. Like, again, Miami started moving it. They got into Packers territory. You're going, all right, 21-6, maybe it's 21-10 plus Miami gets it. Then they turn it over. And in 22 seconds, you steal 3 points, and now you're up 3 touchdowns. Now you're up 24-3, and this game's over.
No, I thought LaFleur called a great game, you know. And I think it's finally getting to Jordan, like, you don't have to do too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Wicks is still driving me nuts, Gabe.
Yeah, it wasn't a great drop.
That's a catchable ball that could have very well have been a turnover,
mm-hmm.
you know, if Watson didn't lay the guy out, but... Man, he's got to clean that up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And he in his defense, he did have a few catches in that second half. So hopefully maybe he can start building towards that. Because, again, he got shouted out by his head coach for the physicality and how much that he loves the way that Wicks is blocking. But as we've made fun of other wide receivers in the past before, Chew, yeah, the blocking's great. But the thing you get paid for is, you know, the whole catching of the football.
Yeah.
A question quickly here from Matt and Racine. Do we feel like Lambeau finally showed up and made it really difficult for Miami to run their offense? Seemed like the crowd caused a few pre-snap mistakes yesterday. We will ask somebody that was there, Jason Wilde. We'll ask him that question. Plus, he's doing what today? That's all coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on this Victory Friday.
Ready? Down. Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason, good morning. Happy Dude and Victory Friday.
And Black Friday. It's a Dude Black Victory Friday.
Ooh.
So many things going on.
A lot going on.
So, Jason, the one thing that stood out to me listening to Matt LaFleur in his press conference last night was right at the beginning when he started talking about the Packers' physicality. From the wide receivers and the offensive line and the linebackers, are the Packers a physical team?
I think they might be. And I'd be curious. I'm sorry, I was still trying to catch the last minute or two of sleep before talking to you knuckleheads. So I don't know if you...
Oh, no. Did we lose Jason?
He went back to sleep.
Jason was he just wanted to go back to sleep, I guess.
Jason?
He was trying to catch the last minute of sleep.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. We lost you for a second.
You guys sound like crap. I mean, worse than usual.
Oof.
But I've got like this really bad audio at my end.
Yeah, we got our C team producer, Jason, so you got to bear with us.
Yeah, I know.
I'm leaving. Yeah, you guys got this. You don't need me. It's fine. Jason, I can call you back. Hang
Jason,
tight.
This...
Yeah, we'll reestablish the connection. Me, we'll reestablish the connection with Jason just so he can hear us better, Jason, and we can hear him.
Jason, as part of the physicalness, to me, this was the first time...
Did you not understand
Lambeau
what I just said?
Looked,
we're hanging up with Jason. Lambeau, he's not look, there.
All right, Gabe. Well, this is the first time it looked like Lambeau was a home field advantage.
Yes. I think so. That was certainly a question that a caller had. And Jason is back now, Chewy, if you'd like to ask Jason the question.
Jason, to me, on the physical side, it looked as if Lambeau was finally a home field advantage.
So, all right, a couple things. First of all, we all love Ashton, but C-team producer is probably even giving him too much credit because that was I think it's the other direction. He's a suit now.
Yeah.
But seriously, I thought I was like in a well or something. It was, and it was terrible. So I'm glad he fixed it. Good job, Ashy.
Keep it up, my buddy. There.
Secondly, appreciate you. Wow. Okay. If that's how it's going to be. I want to get before we talk about home field. We had this conversation last week because of the way Josh Jacobs plays. And my point with Tausch was, can you be considered a physical team just because your running back is physical? Because he was obviously on that 0-3 team when Amon Green ran for 1,883 yards. And he obviously was a very physical back who had like 400-plus touches that year. Between carries, I think he had 355 for carries. Then he had another 50 receptions. But what I think is true is they actually have two guys that when they have the football in their hands, they are extremely physical. And it's not just Jacobs. It's Tucker Kraft, too. And then you add from that to you got some – for lack of a better term, the way you guys described your offensive linemen at times, you got some real dirt bags on the offensive line, right? You got some guys that Frankie Bag of Donuts would be proud of, right? I think Sean Ryan fits that mold. Obviously, Elton, who is obviously very, very talented, but, you know, got that 15-yard penalty for beating the crap out of that guy into the turf yesterday when they were on fourth and goal from like a half yard line. Like they are, and then to LaFleur's point, the way their wide receivers block, because you know you played with some wide receivers who weren't super interested in that part of the job. So yes, I do think that they are a physical team. I'm still not all that sure in terms of their defensive physicality if they're, you know, there's no Wayne Simmons on this group, but they definitely are trending in a better direction there too. So I think all of that makes up a pretty physical team, not like 85 Bears physical, but physical. As far as the home field advantage, look, I just don't think that there were as many Miami Dolphins fans who bought tickets and made the trek up there. Like, I don't know what the market was, but it did feel like on Thanksgiving after spending the holiday with, you know, family members you don't especially like, there were a lot of people that were really happy to be there.
I want to give credit where credit is due. So this was a text from Brett, Jason, who had a thought last... No, it is not from old number four.
Were there pictures attached?
Yeah, I was just going to say there'd be pictures attached, Jason.
Thankfully, no. Thankfully, no pictures attached. But this Brett had a thought last night. Packers are better when a weapon is missing. Dobbs missed last night, and it led to targets for other guys. So we often talk about, especially with the wide receivers, the four. Do you think Brett is onto something? With one of them missing, they can just kind of focus on the three that they had last night in Wicks, Reed, and Watson. And then obviously you see Tucker Kraft get a little bit more involved. Do you think that that thought potentially has merit, that maybe the four wide receivers are better if it's only three?
So I am always very, very pro fan and listener engagement and them sharing their thoughts. So I don't want to poo-poo. But I would also add that they threw the ball 28 times as opposed to, 17 in the Bears game and 23. That's five more targets, right, for whoever. And let's be honest, as much as, and I am a big Jaden Reed guy, I think he needs to get the ball more. But look at his target numbers. I think he was targeted 6 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he only had 3 catches for 24 yards. He had the big run.
23 yards there.
Of 23 yards. But it's not like you got him the ball a ton. You did target him more. Obviously, they targeted Wicks, which some might argue, especially, you know, I do want to say this in Wicks' defense. Homer and I talked about this at like 1 a.m. this morning. I think Jordan looks really, really good. Like, I think the last 3 games now, he just looks so much more like the guy he was last season. But I was having flashbacks to conversations I used to have with Aaron Rodgers on the show about the dangers of leading guys mm-hmm. into hits. And I thought that that was a prime example of he did drop it, and that is on him. He's a professional football player. He needs to catch that. You know, Antonio Freeman probably would have gotten his jaw broken, but he would have caught the ball or broken his forearm, right? Because that's how mm-hmm. he used to play. But that's not the game now, and you got to throw it behind him to stop that route to protect him, right? So I thought that was one instance of him not putting his receiver in the best position. And for a guy who already had 7 drops, that was less than ideal. I think it was great that they were able to get guys more involved than they had. But what did Watson have? 2 catches?
2 catches, like, 67 yards.
Yeah, he had the big 46-yarder. I don't think that they were, quote-unquote, better because they didn't have Dobbs. Like, I think they're starting to have more well-defined roles, though. I still want Reed to get the ball more, but they've got a bunch of guys now that are kind of falling into patterns, right? I mean, Watson with the downfield opportunities. Before missing the game last night, it was Dobbs being a third down guy. He had that one drive last week, or Sunday, I guess it was, where he got the ball 3 straight times. I don't know what's happening, and I'm home alone like Kevin, so I can go get Sadie and tell her to shut up.
Wait, you made your family disappear?
No, Black Friday made them disappear. And they went to bed a lot earlier than this guy did, so.
Jason, the past
hey, that is enough! I am on the radio! What are you barking about? Hi. You're a good dog, but shut up, please. Okay, sorry.
That's a new drop.
Jason, the pass defense still a little porous. What's the status on Ballantyne?
So he had a knee injury. I saw him in the locker room afterward. He had an ice pack but was not on crutches. Usually when a guy suffers a significant knee injury, he's usually not there. So I would say that was an encouraging sign for him. You know, they played Stokes some, and that he is such a nice kid, but I don't know if he's ever going to become the level of corner that you want him out there a lot, right? Like, he had some moments again last night where I was like, I don't know what exactly he's doing. And so, they were not great, but let's give the other team some credit, too. I mean, that scheme mm-hmm. and the way that they play to Tua's strengths, and given what he has endured with concussions, the way they are so good at getting the ball out of his hand quickly and then getting the ball to their guys that are really fast, I'm not sure that I would kill their pass defense and say that it wasn't very good. Obviously, statistically, it looks really bad, but I didn't think, you know, I didn't think it was as bad as the numbers made it look, if that makes sense, given what they were up against.
Mm-hmm.
5 sacks, though, Jason. Is the pass rush starting to figure it out?
Yeah, that was the question I asked LaFleur, and he said, yeah, I think so. Now, look, I do want to take some time here for some Quay Walker appreciation.
Sure.
Because I am, like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I think that we had a pretty long conversation with him, and then after the group dispersed, I talked to him for a few more minutes, and I think he, I don't think people understand him at all. I think, you know, if you're a fan, because when I had, I retweeted something from Ari Mirov or somebody about who should be the, who the candidates are for coach of the year. And he had 12 people and LaFleur wasn't one of them. Like, that's great. Mike McDonald's team is 6-5, but come on. And some people responded with, he's still letting Quay Walker start at linebacker. He should be fired, not given the coach of the year award. So I know that there's a lot of Quay Walker hate out there, but I got to tell you, and this is where, you know, and Chewy obviously knows this from me covering him. This is where, like, being around these guys all the time and understanding their humanity and that they're not just, you know, empty uniform numbers and helmets running around on the field below. I don't know if there have been many players that I've covered who are more, like, conscientious to a fault and worried about making mistakes and it affecting their play and causing them to be indecisive and then beating themselves up when they make mistakes and it causes more mistakes. Chewy, he needs a pep talk from you. I'm not kidding. Because the conversation I had with... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Jason, because Wayne Simmons was the same way. I was going to ask you, is he a guy that only plays when the lights are on?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's...
Okay.
So, obviously he played well last night, and he played well against the 49ers. And yep. He did not play well against the Bears. And he's... I made this comp with Homer last night, and believe me, I am not comparing myself to a professional athlete in any way, shape, or form. However, I can tell you in my very limited athletic, dare I say success, but probably that's probably the wrong word, that one of my biggest downfalls and one of the things that I try very hard to express to the girls is, I mean, they hear it all the time. Next play. Like when Maddie was playing golf, it's always next shot because she has a little bit of this in her too, where one bad shot becomes two, becomes three. Or if Sydney turns the ball over and she does it again and she's in her head and she's losing confidence and she feels bad that she's letting the team down. And I'm telling you, I was terrible at that. And if I had had somebody that could help me through that, I might have been okay. But Quay Walker has that problem at the NFL level. And we talked to him for an extended time last night about it. And he is conscientious to a fault. And somebody needs to get through to him to explain that, look, you have to give yourself some grace and you have to move on when you screw up. And so I'm really eager to see if he has kind of broken through that now with the last couple of games. Because I think Jeff Hafley said, hey, get out of your damn head. Just go get the football. Because how many times do we see him where he looks like he's in perfect position there's no explanation at all for why he somehow manages to overthink it and lose the ball carrier. So I want to send the audio along so we have it, because I think you guys would find it really interesting to listen to.
Jason, did you know that Holmgren did that with us? He brought in some kind of psychologist mind guy and as a team, and he had us flush like bad things out of our head. The only problem is now when you see a disturbing picture or something like that, you can't get that out of your head. So he kind of helped us, but he kind of screwed us in the end. You know,
I'm curious,
like,
if
Gabe,
the
picture of Blammer.
Card.
Yeah. We don't have to bring
the
that
picture
up, man.
Of the picture of the Blammer.
I'm able to forget
never
about
get that.
I'm able to forget that. And then you always
right
bring
now.
It up, and now I can't. Now that's all I see.
Let me text it to you, Gabe. Yeah. Hold on.
No.
But you said you forgot.
Text it to Jason.
Yeah,
text it to Jason.
Oh,
yeah, I don't
idea.
Know what you're talking about. Yeah, so, I'd love to see it and not be able to get it out of my head the rest of the day.
Yeah, Chewy's neighbor, the Blammer, who's become a character on this show. Chewy got a very candid photo of him.
Well, I didn't know he lived next door to Brett Favre.
Wow, full circle. Good job, guys.
Wait, so Jason, yeah. Let me get one thing straight. Because Ashton, you know, he did offer you, you know, when we were putting together the show, hey, 7:30, we knew you were up late last night with Green Bay game night and Homer and all that. Hey, do you want to come on a little bit later? You said no. Why?
Because as soon as I hang up with you, now I've got Sadie to stop barking, I am getting in the shower, and then my family has already started its Black Friday shopping, and they would like me to join them.
Wait, so, people still go to stores to do Black Friday shopping?
I think it's kind of a throwback type deal now. Like, there was a time that we had this bad swing toward people like, you actually like went to Walmart still on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you were like standing in, right? And then they finally said, what the hell are we doing? And then there's also this like Black Friday, like all month long.
Yes.
It doesn't make it Black Friday then, right?
Correct.
Today is Black Friday. They call it that because it gets your company into the black in that one day alone with all your sales. And I think there's been kind of a return to the old school. You know, Fleet Farm, great partner of ours, opened at 5 a.m.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will say this. I left Lambeau at 1:03 a.m. and I was contemplating parking in the Fleet Farm parking lot and then setting my alarm, but it was really cold and I did not think I'd stay warm enough.
That's very fair, Jason. We appreciate you. Go enjoy the rest of Black Friday with your family. Thanks for jumping on with us today.
All right, Matt LaFleur talks at 2 o'clock, by the way, so we'll see if he has any more news on any of these things we discussed. So, all right, guys, take care. Be good.
Can't wait to hear more from Matt LaFleur, like he said, at 2 o'clock. Ashton, you didn't know that's the reason why they called it Black Friday?
No, I'm not going to lie. I never actually thought of it, even. And but Jason said it so calmly that it has to be that. So
no, I mean, it's 100%. Jason was 100% correct in his assessment.
I don't know what I thought it meant. I just kind of rolled with it.
Just never thought about
it.
See,
I had one job on Black Friday, and that's to go get my wife a newspaper. Because that's where they show all the deals.
Oh, sure.
You didn't know that? But I would have to go, like, I'd go to Quick Trip to another. It all run out. So that was my chore. I'd have to go find a newspaper somewhere.
Is anyone on this panel? Is any of us going shopping today?
Absolutely not.
I already did. I went yesterday.
Damn, that was a smart idea.
I bought myself some stuff.
Oh, okay.
We'll find out what stuff Chewy bought himself. Plus, we'll be joined by Craig Karmazin as he joins us for his weekly chat here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Coming up next.
KB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's Friday.
Always love catching up with Good Color Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin every Friday. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, guys.
Was yesterday the Packers' most complete performance of the season?
No. I mean, last night was great, but I don't know. I kind of agree with Jordan Brooks or whatever the guy's name is, the linebacker from the Dolphins, who said the Dolphins are soft. And I think the Dolphins did exactly what so many people thought they would do that I just didn't see coming. You know, I thought the Dolphins, you know, had played so well defensively that this was going to be such a tough game. And the Dolphins handed this game to the Packers. Like, you look at Chris Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson, 5 carries, 48 yards. Those guys, they didn't want to tackle those guys. Like, it'd be one thing if it was Josh Jacobs, like, when he was running the ball. But the Dolphins just, it was an embarrassing effort from them. Now, again, for the Packers to win 2 games in 5 days, really impressive. And I thought the Packers were really, really good against the 49ers. And I thought they were really good again today, like, or last night. So, I think the Packers are playing well, but last night to me was much more about the Dolphins than it was about the Packers.
Are the Dolphins a good team, even though they're 5-7?
I thought with Tua they were, you know, and but they're not a good team outside. I mean, it's weird to say because, like, you can go up and down the roster and be like, wait, that guy isn't, like, necessarily from the South. And, like, Raheem Mostert, we know, went to Purdue. And, like, you can do stuff like that. But then at the end of the day, those numbers are the numbers. And the fact that they've lost 12 straight games when it's under 40 degrees, like, I'm a believer now in that. That's a real thing.
Talking with, it's not even cold, Craig. What was it last night? In the 20s?
25, not, yeah. 27.
For the, Chewy, you could see they didn't want to tackle those guys. Like, I looked up while I was watching the game. I was like, how big is Chris Brooks? Like, how big is Emmanuel Wilson? Like, the Dolphins are, like,
yeah,
trying to find ways to not tackle those guys. Like, you could see it.
Yeah, it was. So, Craig, the one thing that Matt LaFleur said after the game is the physicality of his team, the way they run the football, the way the wide receivers buying in to run the football. He thought the linebackers flew around and made plays. Are the Packers a physical team, and does it matter in 2024 if you are?
I think it matters in the regular season for sure. It matters, it definitely does, and the Packers' physicality is something I should have praised because it's not fair to just rip the Dolphins for not doing it and not give the Packers some credit. So I think they deserve credit for it, and they were the more physical team. I don't know once you get to the post. I think it still matters in the postseason. I don't know, Chewy, doesn't everyone play physical because it's the postseason? So I just don't know if that can be a distinguishing factor. I mean, I know there's some teams, the Ravens, like back in the day, there's some teams who are more physical. I don't know that, yeah. I think about the Packers defense in that way. Like, I don't feel like this is like, you know, an overly physical team in that way. But I thought Jaden Reed, like, even the way he ran, you know, when he had the ball in his hands, and he's not a big guy, right? But I thought the Packers played really physically, and it was impressive last night. Josh Jacobs always sets the tone in that way. No, not that I still don't want Aaron Jones on this team also, but Josh Jacobs is a great tone setter. So as much as his rushing numbers didn't look impressive, his physicality helped set the tone.
No, you can impose your will on teams that aren't physical. Like when we went into San Francisco in what, Gabe?
95.
I mean, we just beat the snot out of them because we knew they were soft, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Brent Jones just wiped the field. I mean, Wayne Simmons wiped the field with Brent Jones. So that you can intimidate teams like this. I don't know. I thought, and I was telling Gabe, Craig, that physicality defensively really just means flying around to the ball. Would you agree? And last night they looked like they were flying around to the ball, having fun. Because there is still an element of, I was a little worried of, like, pouting. Because sometimes you pout. Like, everyone else is home at Thanksgiving and we got to work. There is an element of that when you play on Christmas or something like that. And they didn't. They were clearly much more hungry than Miami, and it showed.
Yeah, I agree. And they had 5 sacks, right? Like, mm-hmm. I guess that's something we have to, like, give a lot of credit to, because that has not been who they've been through most of this season. So I'm not underestimating it. It's just the way the Dolphins came out, and, you know, obviously the fumble on that first punt, you know, and then, you know, a quick Packers get the ball quick, and all of a sudden they're up big. I mean, it was – everything the Packers needed to happen happened, and they deserve a lot of credit, too. You're right. Like, I thought back-to-back games, and I thought them being at home could actually work to their disadvantage on a holiday. Like, you know, the idea of, like, Thanksgiving being a business trip for the Dolphins, but for the Packers, there could be a bunch of distractions. So I continue to think Matt LaFleur deserves a ton of credit, whether it's Brock Purdy being out, whatever the things are. There's a lot of little things that could take the edge off for a team. Right, you're playing against Mac Jones, and it's like, what's going on here? Or no, they didn't play Mac Jones. I'm trying to think of what other random things they had happen. obviously, you know, that aren't like the Malik Willis, right? Because you're going to give him a ton of credit for that. But I think he's kept his team focused through a lot of different situations where there could be hiccups. And to be 9-3 is really impressive. And you got to just today be like so pissed that the Bears couldn't do what they should have done. Right? Because all of a sudden, next week, the Packers are going to be playing for first place.
Well, you mentioned that game, Craig, and they played the Lions before the bye. At one point, they were down 24-3. They ultimately end up losing 24-14. They've rattled off three wins in a row after the bye. What makes you think, the way the Packers have played in those three games, that it could be different when they go into Detroit in 1 week?
I don't know. I mean, do we think the Lions just lost interest in that game against the Bears yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, if we're using the Bears, I mean, the Packers could have lost against the Bears too. You know, like, I mean, if we're looking back at that game as well.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, the Lions looked human, I guess, is my point, right? They only put up 7 points in the second half, and, you know, the Lions looked human. And I will go back to it. I don't know if the same thing happened against the Packers, right? Like, if they only put up 7 points in the second half because they didn't need to, and they were up by two touchdowns at halftime. But, I mean, I think ultimately we saw the Packers last year go into Detroit and beat the Lions on a Thursday. So I don't see why they can't do it this year.
So is it a must win? Because if they do lose, they're not winning. They're not winning the division. You think this team can go on the road?
Who cares about the division?
And I know there's a lot of football left, but they would have to
go on
the
road. Craig, I care about the division, and they should care about the division.
Craig, they'd have to go on the road and play.
Playing home games, especially after the way they played last night at Lambeau, playing home games is an easier path to a championship.
Yes, of course.
Certainly, theoretically, in theory, but give me all the, you know, how many home losses can we count in the last 10 years?
Well, how many road losses can we count the last 10 years? Like, it's the same thing. It's easier at home. And that's a different team. That was a different team. This is a different team at home, especially if they play physical the way they did last night. That can be an advantage.
This team is 4-1 on the road and 5-2 at home. They've only lost once on the road, and they've lost twice at home. I mean, they went to the Dallas and played their most complete game of the year last year in the postseason. I don't know.
Then what happened in the next game,
they
Craig?
Great.
Craig.
They played unbelievably against the 49ers.
For three quarters.
They played a great game against the 49ers. Don't tell me that, that's because they were on the road. They played great against the 49ers.
Well, so a number of different things here. A number of different things why the division matters. A, you're going to get easier opponents. B, you get home games.
Correct.
You're telling me if they end up being a wild card team and then have to go on the road for three straight? I know they did it 14 years ago, which is ancient. That's forever ago. That's like saying, that's no bearing on what this team is. The easiest route to a championship is always playing at home. Period. Full stop.
It is hard to win four games on the road in a row against very good teams. Or you're probably playing one good team and then three very good teams.
Right, but you don't know what the matchups are going to be.
I know.
But most years you're not going to win a championship anyway. But it can happen going on the road, and
it can.
You could end up with an easier matchup. Like you just don't know, and it doesn't mean that the first game won't be a home game. It's pretty likely the way the Packers are playing, right? That they could end up in that.
If they're a wild card,
they're a wild card.
Craig, this is not the NBA. If they're a wild card, they go on the road.
Atlanta. Right. So you're scared of going to Atlanta?
No, I just don't know.
Scared of going to Seattle?
I don't want to go on the road for three straight games. Three straight games.
You're scared of going to Seattle against this Seattle Seahawks? Come on.
For what they do at home, even with penalties and false starts, there were more of them last night. Yeah, I'm concerned about going to Seattle.
Yeah, I think the key, for this team, ideally, is, you don't want to run into Detroit until the conference championship. So give Detroit a chance to lose before you – give them a chance to lose before you get to them. I think that is one thing that would be a good thing.
But if you're a wild card –
trying to go to a Super Bowl.
If you're a wild card and you win that first playoff game, guess what is likely to happen? You're going to the number one seed, and you're going to play them in the divisional round.
Likely. Not for sure, but likely. I'm just saying I think we overrate, we overrate being the one seed, and we've seen it, right, with the Packers, right? The Packers have been the one seed, and I get it. You have a better chance of the one seed, but it's much more important how well you're playing at the end of the year than what your actual seed is.
Are the Bucks back?
I think we have to say the Bucks are back.
Yeah!
We're back. Hell yeah.
Craig, what did you think he was going to say? No, they're not back? He's a part owner.
Well, after what he just said about the NFL, after what he just said about the NFL playoffs, he could say anything, Chew.
It's like you asked Tausch.
That's the first time he's answered yes to that question when I've asked him, Chew.
Right. Okay, we'll see.
I mean, if they had won the way they won against Miami with Giannis, I think I wouldn't have said the Bucks were back.
Fair, very fair.
I still would have needed to see a little bit more. But to win a cup game without Giannis and to see Dame, you know, go 8 of 13 from three-point range and AJ and, you know, and them, again, struggle down the stretch the way they did, but still find a way to win that game after, you know, easily winning against the Pacers, I think the Bucks are back. I got to say it.
All right.
Hell yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait. I can't wait for Chris to come back because I think that's really going to kick this team potentially into another gear. So, Craig, we always appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on with us. Are you like Jason? Are you going Black Friday shopping? Or do you just do your Black Friday shopping online like, you know, kind of everybody else?
I'm at Disney World. I'm going to Disney World.
Oh.
That's what I'm doing for Black Friday. Yeah.
Are there any roller coasters you won't go on? Are you a roller coaster guy?
I've gone on everything. The new Guardians of the Galaxy, which is at, I don't even remember what park now. I've been there. I think that is Guardians of the Galaxy. That is at Epcot. Is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It 60 miles an hour. It goes backwards. It goes 360. And so I've done every roller coaster here. I don't know. I'm not a big loop guy, but I've done every single thing here.
All right, there you have it. Craig Karmazin's review of Disney World. Appreciate the time, Craig. Enjoy the rest of your stay down there.
Happy holidays, guys.
Craig Karmazin joins us every Friday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You got something, Chew?
No, I'm just trying to figure out how to get back onto the screen.
For those who have been following around YouTube... It's just the entire segment, just Chewy frozen with a very, like, it looks like you're
deep
in a deep thought.
Yeah.
Like a really deep thought is coming your way. So
shouldn't be this hard. Should it? Should it be this hard?
Actually,
I did is hit the X and it went away. Yeah. And I'm in email right now. I think it's email. Yep. Outlook. What,
do you see the link that Josh sent you a long time ago? Or do you want me to send you a new one?
No, you got to send me a new one.
Okay,
you know,
that's good.
You know who I blame, Chew?
It's me.
Ashton.
Yeah, Ashton. I don't know why Ashton would do this to you. He set you up for failure. Didn't put you in his position to succeed.
No, I know. Shouldn't be that hard.
Let me tell you about our good friends at the Ewald Automotive Group. Speaking of Black Friday, because Ewald Automotive Group's Black Friday sales event is back. It's going on today, tomorrow. Get $10,000 in rebates or up to 10% off or 0% financing with Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. Their biggest savings, lowest rates, and maximum trade values. Now through the month end at every Ewald location. And with Ewald, it's always easy. You start at ewaldauto.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Out of the huddle, third and goal.
This is Yerza.
Fake to Jacobs.
Love.
What a throw by Jordan Love. They're trying to show you play action.
Packers beat the Dolphins 30-17 on Thanksgiving, the nightcap of that contest. Which brings us to a Victory Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by our friends at Palermo's Pizzas. So many different brands, whether you're talking about Connie's, Urban Pie, Palermo's, Screamin' Sicilian, Surfer Boy Pizza. They are going to have a slice of pizza that fits your appetite, especially if you made that big meal yesterday. You probably don't want to make anything today. Maybe you get sick of leftovers this weekend. It's always good to have a Palermo's in your freezer, so find them in your local grocer's freezer section. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business. Tausch, not shockingly, was he overreacting last night, Green Bay game night? If you happen to miss it, we're going to play you the audio. We'll hear Chewy react to it. Coming up in 2 minutes, Hour 2, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.